Welcome to Mountain View Church's weekly one-hour program that includes both new and well-known contemporary praise and worship music, Bible readings, and of course, our weekly sermon. We trust and pray that this program uplifts and blesses you. Mountain View Church is located at 5 Church Street in Te Araha, New Zealand. We hold services at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday, and visitors are always welcomed with a smile. We'd love for you to join us. Children's Church is also available during school terms. And without further ado, let's honour God with this week's praise and worship songs. We hope you enjoy them.
Blessed Saviour, Prince of Peace, the one who bore our sin and shame on a tree, bled and died at Calvary. Now we reign in life forever, we are free. And we sing, holy, holy are you, Lord. All the glory to the King we're longing for.
Bow before all the glory to the Lamb. Sacrifice. For today with Rhema.
Enoch walked faithfully with God. From Genesis 5 verse 24. Did the people in Scripture who walked with God ever stumble or get off track sometimes? Yes. But when their feet hit the floor every morning, their commitment was to walk with God throughout the day. They drew on His strength, endeavoured to do His will, and aimed towards the goal that He had set for them. Paul writes, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, from Ephesians 4 verse 1. That means you must know the direction God is leading you in and stay in step with Him. When He acts, you act. When He pauses, you pause. As a believer, your life shouldn't be compartmentalized into what's sacred and what's secular. The Bible says, "In Him we live and move and have our being," from Acts 17 verse 28. You can't say, "In this situation I'm operating under my own steam, but in that situation I'm operating according to the Holy Spirit within me." The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go from your life, He's always with you. Here is a scripture you need to think about. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. From Revelation 4 verse 11, you were created to bring pleasure to God. One of the most important questions you can ask yourself often is, Lord, are my ways pleasing to you right now? See Proverbs 13 verses 5 to 6. When they are, you'll discover the direction He takes you, and it's always the right direction. His timing is always the right timing, and the results you get are always the right results.
The Word for Today with Rhema. You can also read it online at rhema.co.nz.
I'm sinking down in grace, deeper than the ocean, fully immersed, though I don't deserve. What could I give but a life laid down in worship? A billion stars can outshine.
We trust and pray that you've enjoyed the praise and worship music that we've presented in this week's program. Let's now listen to this week's sermon that's presented by Pastor Steve Collicutt.
Okay, so as Jackie said before, today is Palm Sunday, so if you could show me your palms. Excellent. So we need a little bit of interaction, so every time I mention Palm Sunday, show me your palms. let's practice Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Palm Sunday. Excellent. You guys are great. So I've going to be reading this morning from a harmonized gospel. So a guy by the name of Jerry Payton has combined Matthew, Mark, Luke and John into one cohesive story. So if you're thinking, oh, that doesn't say that in my Bible, well, it does, but you're probably looking in the wrong gospel. So if you want to follow, you can turn to Matthew chapter 21 or Mark chapter 11 or Luke chapter 19 or John chapter 12. Okay, that's where the scriptures have been taken from. And we're reading from the New English Translation. The next day, as they approached Jerusalem near Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her that has never been ridden. Untie them and bring them here to me. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs them, and he will send them back here soon.' And he will send them at once." So the disciples who were sent ahead went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, exactly as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners who were standing there asked them, "Why are you untying that colt?" They replied as Jesus had told them, "The Lord needs it." And the owners let them go. Then the disciples brought the donkey and the colt to Jesus. Yeah, wow. Yeah. The disciples brought the donkey and the colt to Jesus, placed their cloaks on them, and had Jesus get on. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. "Tell the people of Zion, 'Do not be afraid. Look, your king is coming to you, unassuming and seated on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and that they had cut in the fields and spread them on the road. Palm Sunday. Yeah, some of you were a little bit slow. As they approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. The crowds that went ahead of him and those following kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest! Peace in heaven and glory in the highest!" But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to them, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered them, "I tell you, if they keep silent, the very stones will cry out." Jesus' disciples did not understand these things when they first happened. But when Jesus was glorified and they remembered that these things were written about him and that these things had happened to him. Now when Jesus approached and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you had only known on this day, even you, the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and surround you and close in on you from every side. They will demolish you and your children within your walls. And they will not leave within you one stone on top of another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." As he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So the crowd who had been with him when he called Lazarus out from the tomb and raised him from the dead were continuing to testify about it. Because they had heard that Jesus had performed this miraculous sign, the crowd went out to meet him. Thus the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you can do nothing. Look, the whole world has run after him." Then Jesus went to the temple, and looking around at everything, he went out to Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. Now early in the morning, the next day, as they went out from Bethany and returned to the city, Then they came to Jerusalem. Jesus entered the temple area and began to drive out those who were selling and buying in the temple courts. He turned over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Then Jesus began to teach them and said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have turned it into a den of robbers?" The blind and the lame came to him in the temple courts, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the experts in the law saw the wonderful things he did and heard the children crying out to the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what they're saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of children and nursing infants you have prepared praise for yourself?'" The chief priests and the experts in the law heard it, and they considered how they could assassinate him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed by his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Palm Sunday. Oh, you're getting better. One question, which I had never thought about before until I read it. You've got Jesus entering the city. People are laying their cloaks on the road. They're waving palm branches because it's Palm Sunday. And they're shouting, "Hosanna in the highest. You know, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is the house of David." And they're making all these proclamations that Jesus is king. And there's a crowd. And so my question is, which I never thought about before, is where were the Romans? Because if the Romans had seen this, they would have arrested them on the spot. And they would have taken him away, never to be seen again. Interesting. I never thought about that before. Because you've got a nation that's there to celebrate Passover. Well, actually, Jerusalem around that time was probably had a population of 40 to 50,000. And during festivals like Passover, like the Feast of Tabernacles, it would swell to about 200,000 as Jews and God-fearing Gentiles would come from every part of the nation of Israel to celebrate together, because it'd be like a party for 7 days. And if this was Passover, what's Passover about? Celebrating the liberation from a country that held you captive. Egypt. Celebrating God's intervention and deliverance. And so, if you were the Roman occupier and or oppressor, depending on your view, depending on if you're Roman or Jewish, if you were a Roman oppressor, a Roman occupier, you would want to make sure that these Jews did not want to relive their Passover. You would want to make sure that these Jews did not get ideas about being liberated again. You'd want to make sure that there'd be no revolt, that there'd be no revolution, that there'd be no insurrection, that there would be no demonstrations. And so where were the Romans? I don't know. They may have been watching. And they may have been watching, just keeping an eye on it, and saw that the procession stopped at the temple. I thought, it's okay. The other thing that I hadn't considered was that apparently Pontius Pilate lived at his beach house in Caesarea. And so Jesus approached from the Mount of Olives, the east gate. Pontius Pilate coming down from Caesarea would have come down from the coast up and then coming through the west gate. Now, it may not have been on the same day, but it makes for a good story. But it would have been within 1 or 2 days of Jesus' arrival. If you were the Roman leader representing Caesar, the occupier, how would you want to show that you were in charge? You'd take control, and you'd show that you're in charge, and you'd take control by intimidation. There would be pomp and ceremony. There would be Pilate, maybe at the front on a white horse or on a stallion, full in battle regalia. There'd be legions of Romans marching with you. There'd be the stomp of and batter and clanging of swords and shields, helmets, and the smell of leather. There would just be a massive procession. And they'd be holding up signs. Caesar is Lord. In fact, in the Roman Empire days, they would have heralds that would go, they would come forth and get, hear the good news. Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Savior of the world. Enjoy his peace. So how did the Romans achieve peace? Intimidation, domination. They would come to the area. They would Pax Roma or Roman peace, which they were famous for, was achieved through dominating the local and subjugating them. And that would take a bit of violence, let's be real, it would take some warfare, it would take some battle, it would take a show of force, it would take, you know, a couple of well-placed assassinations maybe, just the show of force, we're in charge. And so, you've got Pilate, full of pomp and regalia, I'm the one in charge, I'm the one that will dominate and through violence and force, if necessary, to achieve peace. I'm the one that's victorious. Palm Sunday.
But that's...
And then you've got Jesus approaching in humility on a donkey, on a colt. And what they're quoting is the prophet Zechariah, who says, you know, see, your king is coming. Your king is here. He comes in peace on a donkey, on the foal of a colt. And actually the next verse says, I will remove the chariots from Jerusalem, the war chariots from Ephraim. He will proclaim peace to the nations. And so you've got Palm Sunday. Jesus approaching in humility and peace. And you've got Pilate, maybe that day, maybe a few days before, approaching with dominance and a show of strength and force. I'm in charge. Here and now, it's easy to say which parade you'd be a part of. You know, here and now, it's like, oh, I'd be in Jesus' parade. But there are so many times that I've acted like Pilate, where I've tried to intimidate or bring force, and I've unintentionally been in his parade rather than on the parade of Jesus in humility and peace. How do you figure that? Well, when I've reacted in anger, I've participated in Pilate's parade. When I'm not quite sure what to say because I want to maintain peace. And so I'm not saying anything, I then become passive-aggressive and demonstrate a cold shoulder or ignore someone unless they approach me. If someone offended me and I start rumours and perpetuate rumours about them that so that others will feel less, think less of them, then I've participated in Pilate's parade. Or if someone's offended me and I refuse to forgive them, I've participated in Pilate's parade. Or if someone's offended me and so I've slandered them, talked about them to others so that others would think less of them, I've participated in Pilate's parade. But if others have offended me and I've prayed for their blessing, I've asked for God's help to forgive them, then haven't I joined Jesus' parade? Palm Sunday. And so it's not a once-off choice that was made 2,000 years ago. It's a choice that we make each and every day. And we can vacillate or change direction between the two parades that we've joined very easily. In fact, I'm astonished how easy it is to have a foot in this parade and then run over to this one on a Sunday and then find myself coming back to this one on a Monday to a Friday. And so wherever you're using violence, and by violence I'm thinking whenever I try to exert my will, whenever I don't consider other people's feelings or thoughts or take that into account so that I get my way, I'm starting to follow in Pilate's parade. But whenever I made that initial choice to forgive and to continue to forgive, whenever I make that choice to come underneath and serve others in humility, considering others' interests and doing what is best for them, then I'm participating in Jesus' parade. When I'm declaring that He is my King, that He is my Lord. And it's a choice that you'll make, and you'll have to make again, and you'll have to make again. And who knows, it's Palm Sunday. You'll have to make it again. Because it happens to the best of us. It happens to all of us. On the one hand, we want to get our way. But on the other hand, we want to follow Jesus. And so I bless you to continue to make the choice that when you find yourself in Pilate's parade, that you run to join Jesus' parade. Yeah. And may you be empowered by the Spirit of God to stay there. I bless you to act in ways that that are actually best for you and best for others. I bless you to come in peace. In humility and lift others up. I bless you to participate in the Palm Sunday parade of Jesus. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amplify your anthem of grace within my soul. Let me hear the wonders of your redeeming love. And let me hear those saving words you spoke upon the cross. It is faith.
Shame is silence, death is defeat. and true, the image of the Father's outstretched hand. This act of love, this sacrifice, we've seen the face of God.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's program from Mountain View Church in Te Aroha, New Zealand. The program is broadcast every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. right here on Radio Te Aroha on 88 FM and simulcast online at radiotearoha.com. We hold services at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday, and as we said at the beginning of this program, visitors are always welcomed with a smile. We'd love for you to join us. Children's Church is also available during school terms. You can get in touch with us via our website at mountainviewchurch.org.nz, where you can also listen again to this program on demand. Have a blessed week.